This episode is sponsored by Celestron, manufacturer of high-quality telescopes and an industry leader in developing exciting optical products with revolutionary technologies.
I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during December. In this installment, we'll mark the solstice, prep for the year's very best meteor shower, watch a historic close pairing of Jupiter and Saturn, and welcome the arrival of winter's bright stars. So grab your curiosity and come along on this month's Sky Tour. I'm happy to report that 2020 is finally drawing to a close. I'm reminded of that because on December 21st, at 5:02 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we reach a celestial turnaround point, the solstice. This Latin word means sun stands still. At that moment, the sun has traveled its farthest south in the sky, shining directly down on Earth's Tropic of Capricorn in the southern hemisphere, and reverses direction to gradually move northward among the stars. Weatherwise, this date marks the astronomical beginning of summer in the southern hemisphere and of winter up here in the north. For those of us at mid-northern latitudes, around the solstice, the span from sunset to sunrise is at least 14 hours. That's great for stargazing, of course, but a little depressing if you love being out in the sunshine. Now, keep the 21st in mind. It's a recurring astronomical theme this month. Meanwhile, the moon starts December nearly full, having barely skimmed through Earth's shadow on November 30th during what's called a penumbral lunar eclipse. As the moon wanes, it will be absent from evening skies in early December. Here in the Americas, last quarter moon falls on December 7th. New moon follows on the 14th, and on that day it crosses directly in front of the sun to create a total solar eclipse. Unfortunately, the path of totality only makes landfall in southern Chile and Argentina. Oh well. After that, watch for a thin crescent to emerge in the evening sky, with first quarter on the 21st, there's that date again, and what's known as the full cold moon, for obvious reasons, on the 29th. December features the return of what's arguably the very best meteor shower you'll see all year, the Geminids. And this year, viewing conditions are nearly perfect, with the moon and its intrusive light completely out of the picture. From a clear, dark location, far from strong sources of light pollution, you might see one Geminid per minute or more when it peaks on the night of December 13th. This year, the peak is especially well-timed for the Americas. And, unlike some meteor showers, you don't have to stay up until the wee hours to see the Geminids at their best, because at mid-northern latitudes, the show starts by 9 p.m. As my colleague Joe Rao points out in the December issue of Sky and Telescope, the Geminids have long been considered runner-up to the more popular Perseid meteor shower in August. But Joe points out that, over the years, the Geminids have slowly become more intense, and recently they've emerged as the primo display. So why do we see these particular meteors every December, like clockwork? Meteor showers happen when our planet plows through a stream of fine particles that have been shed by a comet and spread out along its orbit. Earth crosses the Geminids' orbit each December. But these meteors are unusual. Their source is not a comet, but an asteroid called Phaethon. Phaethon isn't very large, only about 3 miles across, and it was discovered fairly recently in 1983. Before then, no one knew where the Geminids came from. Phaethon's most remarkable distinction is that it approaches the Sun closer than any other named asteroid. Its perihelion is only 13 million miles from the Sun. That's less than half of Mercury's perihelion distance, and it means temperatures can climb to more than 1,300 degrees Fahrenheit. Astronomers think Phaethon is a body whose rocky minerals start cracking and breaking down into dust as the searing sunlight heats its surface. The sun's radiation pressure then drives them off into space. And when some of them slam into our atmosphere at 22 miles per second, bam, we get a nice cascade of shooting stars. Planet-wise, Mercury is hidden in the sun's glare this month, and Venus is sinking fast in the morning twilight before dawn. But three other planets continue to keep us company after sunset. Mars is the easiest to spot, high in the south and more than halfway to overhead at sunset. There's nothing nearly as bright anywhere nearby. As you gaze at Mars, reflect on the fact that right now there are six spacecraft orbiting the planet and a seventh crawling around on its surface. Three more missions are on their way to the red planet, a new wave of orbiters, landers, and rovers that will arrive early in 2021. Now, Jupiter and Saturn are in the evening sky too, but you won't find them high up like they were a few months ago. Instead, look low in the southwest soon after sunset. Jupiter is brighter, and Saturn is just to its upper left. Don't go out too late, as they set only about 3.5 hours after the sun goes down. If you haven't checked out Jupiter and Saturn recently, you'll be stunned to see how close they are to one another. They start the month about 2 degrees apart, a little closer than the width of your thumb at arm's length. And from December 12th to the 29th, they'll be spaced less than 1 degree apart, the width of your outstretched little finger. But the real event occurs on the evening of, you guessed it, December 21st. That's when Jupiter and Saturn will be separated by just 1/10 of a degree. That's so close that you'll struggle to see them as separate points of light. By all means, get out the binoculars for this, or a telescope if you have one, and tell your friends and neighbors to have a look too. Again, don't wait too long to go out to spot them. Start looking about 45 minutes after sunset, when they'll be just a little more than your clenched fist above the southwestern horizon. How often does this happen? Well, these two planets haven't had such a tight conjunction, that's what sky watchers call this pairing, since the year 1623. But back then they were too close to the sun to be seen easily. For that, you have to go back to 1226, nearly 800 years ago. Now, it turns out that Jupiter and Saturn had a triple conjunction, passing near each other 3 times in the year 7 BC. Although some scholars have speculated that this close dance could have served as the Star of Bethlehem, most now favor a triple conjunction of Jupiter with much brighter Venus that took place in the years 3 and 2 BC. In fact, Venus actually crossed directly in front of Jupiter on June 17th in 2 BC. Wow, our solar system is putting on quite a show this month. But what about the stars overhead? Remember them? At the beginning of December, once it gets good and dark, say around 7 p.m., the majestic stars of Orion veritably leap up over the eastern horizon. By month's end, those same stars come into view a couple of hours earlier, soon after sunset. Look for the Hunter's distinctive belt of 3 stars, oriented as a vertical row as the constellation climbs into the sky. The belt is flanked by ruddy Betelgeuse to its left and icy white Rigel to its right. If you create an imaginary line defined by Orion's belt and follow it upward by about twice the width of your outstretched fist, you'll spot a modestly bright star showing the slightest hint of red color. This is Aldebaran, the angry eye of Taurus the Bull. It's a red giant star about 44 times the sun's diameter and more than 500 times its brightness. Aldebaran doesn't seem that bright because it's 65 light years away. The light from Aldebaran that's hitting your eye left that star in 1955 when Dwight Eisenhower was president of the United States and the launch of Sputnik 1 was still 2 years away. Aldebaran has been known by many names over time. Ancient Persians knew it as Tacheter, and the Romans called it Parallelium. If you lived in the Middle Ages, you might have used Cor Tauri, meaning heart of the bull. Hindu astronomers know it as the lunar mansion Rohini, meaning the red one. If you're having trouble picking out Aldebaran, be watching on the evening of December 27th, when the nearly full moon is perched just to its upper left. The name Aldebaran is Arabic for the follower. And what is this star following? That would be the Pleiades star cluster, seen higher up in the evening sky by about the width of 1 fist. It's a small, fuzzy spot. But look harder, and you'll realize it's actually a little cluster of stars, small enough to cover with the tip of your little finger. How many individual stars can you count in the cluster? 5 or 6? Seven, another name for the Pleiades, is the Seven Sisters, and I'll have more to say about them next month. But get this, the Japanese call this cluster Subaru. Yep, just like the car. In fact, the next time you see a Subaru on the street, check out the logo. It's a stylized star cluster. Aha! There's one other star to mention in this part of the evening sky. Well to the cluster's left, about three-fifths away, is Capella, a name derived from the Latin word for goat, in the constellation Auriga, a mythological charioteer who doubles as a goat herder. Thanks for joining me on this celestial adventure for another month. If you want more tips on viewing the night sky, including a free interactive star chart for any time or date, check out our website, skyandtelescope.org. If you haven't already subscribed, you can find Sky Tour on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen. And if you've enjoyed listening, please do leave a rating or a review. It'll help spread the word about Sky Tour, and I really welcome your feedback. And if you want to explore the solar system and universe more deeply, check out the full line of binoculars and telescopes available at Celestron.com. Sky Tour is a production of Sky and Telescope, a division of the American Astronomical Society, and is produced by me, Kelly Beattie. Next month, we'll spend some quality time with the Pleiades. Until then, I wish you clear skies.